Ireland captain Kinsale Manon this week, Dutch Hockey League champion David Hart, congratulations and thanks for speaking to us.
Hi Lisa, thanks for having me on. It's been absolutely hectic, so it has, and kind of only sinking in over the last 48 hours or so. I think the first time since the 1985 that my club SV Kampong have won the Dutch title, and in doing so in quite a spectacular fashion twice on penalties is a really special feeling.
Yeah, so your role couldn't have been much bigger, I would imagine.
Listen, as a goalkeeper, it's always going to be a possibility. You can either be the hero or the zero sometimes. That's how it works out when it goes to penalties and shootouts. And I was lucky enough to get in the way of a few more than the other goalkeeper, who also did incredibly well. And we ended up coming away with the national title. So, as I said, yeah, just an amazing feeling.
Superb. Talk us through, like, would Rotterdam in a three-game series, wasn't it, for the playoff?
How the finals work over here is that it's always based over, you play the semi-final and final of the playoffs over three games, so best of three in both the semi and the final. And we were lucky enough to win it at home because we finished actually fourth in the playoffs. It's the first time that anyone who's finished the regular kind of competition season in the fourth position to go on to win the actual title. It's never happened before. So we literally snuck in. We had one final game to play against an incredibly strong opposition, last year's champions actually, away from home. About 2 weeks ago, and we got a penalty and scored it with 10 seconds left on the clock, and it was enough to draw, was enough to put us into the playoffs, when it looked like about 6 or 7 weeks ago, due to a few bad results and injuries and this and that, that we were in actually seventh position and everybody had completely written us off. So it's almost like a bit of a fairy tale story, to be honest.
It is, isn't it? Like, every single little detail there just adds to it.
Yeah, and I think the Dutch media are loving that as well. They're calling us Lazarus, and they're calling us like the Houdini Act and all of that. But at the end of the day, the most important thing was that we brought the cup back home to Kampong and have the medals around our necks. So, yeah, it's just unbelievable.
So as a culmination on Sunday, like, I'm just looking at some of the images shared online by yourself and the clubs. Like, it looked remarkable.
Yeah, it was really, really a special moment because also the club is just in the development of a new clubhouse. Because of the numbers playing the sport over here, and in our club in particular, Kampong, it just became the largest club in the Netherlands and also in the world, with over close to 4,000 members for hockey. So they had to go and upgrade the clubhouse, and in doing so, they allowed us up onto the top kind of roof terrace with the trophy on the Saturday evening when we came back, and surprised us by having a couple of odd thousand supporters down below us wearing blue and white. So it was something we hadn't expected whatsoever, but just a tremendous, tremendous feeling.
Absolutely amazing. How much pride do you take in being the first Irish person to win this league?
Again, it was something that was said to me and that people have questioned me about and stuff. Of course, anything that raises the profile of Irish hockey and gets people talking about hockey within Ireland and the likes of, say, speaking now with Cork Red FM or in the Irish Times newspaper or the Cork Examiner, etc. Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted, of course. And on a personal level, yeah, I came over here obviously to try and see if I was able to compete and get involved in this competition and this actual premiership over here about 7 years ago. And little did I know that I'd be winning this year and in such a dramatic fashion. So again, yeah, just for the first Irish person, yeah, delighted and absolutely, of course, incredibly proud. But more importantly, that the spotlight is being put back on Irish hockey again ahead of a busy summer.
Yeah, absolutely. And more on that in just a minute, because I just, you know, you already became the first Irish player to win the Euro Hockey League. We'll talk maybe more about winning goalkeeper of the year and things like that. What's the next record you're going to break, David?
Oh, sure. Listen, there's plenty of goals already being said, I can tell you now. And probably the most important thing for myself is with the Irish team to go and compete in a World Cup, which I know we haven't done in over 20-odd years again. So we have a big opportunity this summer, actually, with a tournament in South Africa in Johannesburg in July. And we'll be hoping to come away with a decent finish there that will allow us to go and compete in 2018 World Cup next year in India, which would be an amazing adventure for all of us in this group.
Yeah, because the development of the Irish side, like, I suppose, speaking to you today, your personal achievements are fantastic, and I'm going to delve into them a little bit more, if you let me. But even just this year on the Olympics and the progression of the Irish team from that, David, you know, how progressive was it for you competing at the Olympics?
Massive, I think. The exposure that hockey received from that, again, was, you can't put a price on that, that's for sure. And not only that, but also even small little things like random messages or came home after the Olympics to anonymous, well, not anonymous, but letters from people that you wouldn't know, and, you know, in counties that where hockey wouldn't be so prominent, like the likes of Tipperary and stuff, and they're saying we're starting up hockey because of watching you lads on the TV and watching you at the Olympics. And, you know, for us, that's an amazing feeling to have, that you've inspired the next generation of hockey players, which is hopefully what we've done, and hopefully what we'll continue to do with this very special group that we have at the minute. I think 10 years ago when I first started off, makes me sound a bit old now, but the first cap back in 2006, geez, more now, 11 years, that we were sitting in around the 20th position in the world, and now we've cracked the top 10. We're sitting in the number, I think the 9th position right now, the highest that we've ever been. And we're obviously going to look to try and push on from here. And as I said, the next kind of target for ourselves is that qualification for the World Cup.
And before that, even just in the very immediate future, a 3-game series up and down the first week in June, Pakistan?
That's correct, yeah. It's in. I think it's actually in Belfast, so yeah, you're right. And we play Pakistan on the Thursday and on the Saturday and on the Sunday. So it'll be really great on home soil again to have top quality matches against a power nation. Of course, over the years, if you asked anybody about, you know, if you didn't even know much about hockey, you would know about the Indians and the Pakistan players being incredibly gifted and talented. And I know for this young group now, having had a few transitions in players over the last couple of months post the Olympic cycle, that it's going to definitely throw up a few kind of curveballs for ourselves, but we're already looking forward to the challenges ahead.
Good, and I'd imagine you'll get a serious welcome home with that one after your own success. But as you mentioned, the Indian hockey there, it's a nice little segue, because I wanted to talk to you about your time in India and how that's kind of, you know, what that's meant to you within Kampong as well, and developing you as a player.
The Indian experiences that I've had for the last 4 seasons, and lucky enough to have had, just not only from a hockey side of things, but from a life point of view. I believe I spoke with the Haganator before on Red FM about it in my second year, and just it opens up your mind so in such a different way that you can't actually imagine an experience unless you've actually been there yourself. And I tried to set it to close family and friends, and some have been lucky enough to come out and experience it, and you see it that just how amazing the country is, but also how an amazing opportunity you've been given through sport and to be able to do that. And I, for one, I know how fortunate I am to be able to do so. And having been there for the last 4 years was difficult at times, of course. You've got your highs and your lows, like in anything in life. And then this year was probably the best one, where we came away, unfortunately, losing out in the finals, but we're reaching the playoffs for the first time and getting the silver medal. So came away with a bit happier than normal from India, but as I said to you before, just an incredible life experience.
And I just think your whole story, David, is such a fairy tale. And you've used the word fairy tale on last weekend and winning the Dutch title. But just generally, this year has been superb for you. And because we have to give mention as well, winning World Hockey Goalkeeper of the Year for a second year in a row. You know, like, it's brilliant.
Yeah, that completely blew me away. I found out the announcement of it when I was over in India itself, and the awards actually took place in Chandigarh in the Punjabi region, which is a huge hockey playing area, and it was just before the finals of the tournament. So it was an incredibly nice boost for myself at that particular moment in time. But again, also, as I said, to have Irish hockey mentioned once again at the top table of international hockey is where we want to try to keep that at. And of course, it's a personal accolade, and one myself and my family are incredibly proud of, but at the end of the day, it's about really keeping that profile of Irish hockey up there in the media and throughout. And if there's things that I can do myself, of course, and I think more importantly, it's what we're doing as a group and as a team. And looking forward already to the coming months back in Ireland and also on the world stage again.
It's quite admirable, David. It sounds like you're taking on a great personal, you know, responsibility to use your achievements to better Irish hockey on a whole.
Yeah, well, again, yeah, you can perhaps also look from a selfish point of view, the reason why I opted and left Ireland and left family, friends, relationships, etc., was to go and improve myself and better myself as a hockey player and see what I can do and what we can do. And I think also what it's done is over the years inspired younger hockey players in Ireland also to do the same, you know, whether they're in their post-university phase or maybe taking a gap year, so on to really try and rub shoulders against the world's top elite in the European club competitions. And yeah, if there's anything that I can do, obviously from my own experiences, is to tell them it's 100% something that you should do. And I know that I've been very fortunate. I've already been over here 7 years, and I think each time I return back to Ireland, I get a bit of a a bit of a ripping over the accent that I've lost, my Cork accent and so on. But at the same time, it's just been an amazing opportunity to experience life over here for this last 7 years. And in doing so, being able to try and test yourself week in, week out with the world's best. And then hopefully that will, the big picture is, of course, that will have the best knock-on effect towards improving the national team.
David, your achievements are absolutely remarkable. Enjoy the rest of the celebrations around your league win at the weekend. Thank you very much for speaking to us, and indeed enjoy the series against Pakistan early June.
Super, Lisa. Thanks very much for having me on. Appreciate that. Thank you.